comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. You'll find that projected for you on the screen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of God for all of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's been 16 years since I last shared with you any thoughts concerning the word of God. And since then, my hair's grown a little bit grayer. My waistline's grown a little bit bigger. But I've also grown a little wiser in understanding the things of God. What I want to share with you this morning is what I believe God is up to in the world and what I believe the church is to be doing in the world. And if you listen closely enough, if you just listen closely enough, you'll be able to hear the little pitter-patter of this preacher's heart. I'm going to let you in on what moves me. So let me ask you, first of all, what is God up to in the world? What is God doing in the world? And the short answer is transformation. See, the world isn't as God created it to be. It's been spoiled by sin, with a capital S. You'll have a hard time convincing me that God created a world where children die of hunger and preventable diseases. You'll have a hard time convincing me that God created a world where mass shootings are the order of the day. You'll have a hard time convincing me that God created a world where a great state like West Virginia suffers from an opioid crisis. But you can convince me that God loves this world. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. "For God so loved the world," says the Bible, "that he gave his one and only Son." What God is doing in this world is saving the world, is recreating the world. God put into motion a plan that will lead one day to all things being made new. And at the heart of this plan that God has is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Here's how the story goes. God called an older couple and gave to that older couple a son. That son had two sons, and one of those sons had 12 sons and one daughter. Always got to mention the daughter because I've got two of them myself. Always have to mention that daughter. Those sons became tribes. Those tribes became a nation. And one day from that nation, God called another couple and gave to that couple a son with a capital S, and they gave that son's name Jesus. He lived and died, and he lives again. And anyone who pledges their allegiance to him will be saved. Now, salvation is more than just going to heaven after you die. That's part of it. But there's so much more to it. To be saved means to be saved from the spoiling effects of sin, so that we become fully human, the men and women God originally designed us to be. We become the man or woman of God's dreams. But there's more, because God extended the effects of salvation over all of creation. One day all that you see will be made new, and so will be fulfilled the word from the book of Revelation, that first verse of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. As the hymn writer says, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That'll be a wonderful sight. So let me ask you, what is the church up to in the world? The short answer is revelation. It's what the church is up to. That's what we're to be up to. Revelation. See, God created the church as a partner in the divine mission of universal transformation. Our role in the mission is to reveal God's kingdom to the world, just as Jesus did while he was on earth. Jesus said in St. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, this is kind of a summary of his entire message and mission. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God over all of creation. Jesus announced its presence through acts of love and power. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. The most powerful example of God's kingdom was his death on the cross and the empty tomb. He called people to repent, that is, to turn away from sin. See, if sin's over here, to repent means to do this, to turn your back on it and to turn your focus and your allegiance and your devotion on Jesus. That's what it means to repent and believe in the good news. What the church does is to continue to announce the same message that Jesus did. Repent and believe that the good news, that the kingdom of God is present right here on this earth to transform people's lives and all of creation. That's what we are to do. Specifically, the church reveals God's kingdom through following Jesus' teachings on love. And there's four of them. Jesus taught that we are to love God with our entire being. Repeat this after me. Love God. That's what he said. I'm not making this up. St. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. The great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. See, we're loving God right now by worshiping God together. And when we worship God, that brings joy to God's heart. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Anybody here need strength for today? Strength for tomorrow? Yes, you know, you're going to be strong. You're going to be made strong because you are here today and you're worshiping the Lord. The Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's going to strengthen you and encourage you because you're bringing joy to God's heart because you're here today to worship. Jesus taught that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Say that. Love neighbor. He said it. I'm not making this up. Chapter 12, verse 31. It's the second commandment, second great commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Our neighbor is anyone. Not just a person that lives next door to us or across the street. Not even the person we get along with. Not even just a Christian, but also and particularly the non-Christian. And the best way that we could show our love to our neighbor is to serve them. And we need to pay particular attention to the poor and to serve with and to the poor. One of the favorite things that I've done for the past couple of years in serving others is a program that I started when I was at St. Paul's Church in Nitro, called the Spin Cycle. It was a program at our local laundromat. We provided all the quarters you needed to do your laundry and all the supplies you needed. You know, if you needed soap, we got that. You need fabric softener, we got that. You need some bleach, we got that. If you needed some dryer towels, we got that. Anything you needed. But that's not all that we provided. We also provided hospitality. We spent time talking with our neighbors. And some of those conversations were about faith. We got to share our faith with our neighbors. See, that's the other thing about loving our neighbor, especially the non-Christian, is that we are to share our faith story with them. In other words, what God has been doing in our lives. We get to share that story with them. We do that best by what we say, by what we do, and by how we live. Those three together make a complete witness, make a complete faith sharing. That gives us the opportunity to invite people to follow Jesus along with us and so be made into disciples. Jesus also taught that we are to love other Christians just as he has loved them. So say with me, love Christians. You got to love the people you're sitting beside. You got to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and just because they're Christians doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get along with them. Sometimes we rub one another the wrong way, don't we? That's right, we do. And yet we are to love one another just as Jesus has loved them. Did you hear? Jesus himself is the standard. That's a pretty tall order. And just as Jesus loved the one who betrayed him, the one who denied him, so we too are to love one another, even that person we just don't get along with. We must love them. The Bible teaches that it is our love as Christians that tells the world that we are disciples. I think this kind of Jesus love is best accomplished as we break ourselves down into smaller groups. For two years, I was a part of a small group of pastors. And we met every Tuesday. We had a covenant list that we kept one another accountable to. But we also just talked about life and family and ministry. Those men and women loved me as Jesus had loved them. It made me stronger as a man, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, because they loved me. Then fourthly, Jesus taught that we are to love our enemies. So say that, love enemies. That's right, he said it. I'm not making this up. St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we may not have enemies, as that's popularly conceived. But I do believe, kind of flipping this commandment on its head, that we can sow peace in our community and in the world. I mean, what does the Bible says? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Well, that is who we are. So we can sow peace in our community. But I will say, there was a time when I thought of someone as my enemy. I really did. And I'm sure she probably thought of that about me as well. But you know what? I prayed for my enemy. And I found out later that she prayed for me. And you know what happened? There was peace. There was peace between us. I firmly believe that when we love as Jesus taught, that people will see God's kingdom, even if it's just for a glimpse. For some people, it's going to be like you just threw open the shades and let light in. For some people, it's going to be more like this. The blinders are just off for a second, then they're back. But they've seen something. They've been touched by something. They've been attracted by something. I believe that they will want to be a part of God's kingdom people. And you know who the kingdom people are? I'm looking at them right now. We are God's kingdom people, for we are the church. People who catch that glimpse, they'll repent of their sin. They'll believe the good news, just as Jesus proclaimed. They'll devote their entire lives to Jesus, and so will be saved. The world is not as it should be. Oh, yes, there's beauty. Yes, there are good things in this world. But fundamentally, it isn't as God created it to be. It's a dark place that needs light. It's a place of suffering that needs hope. The world's seeking God. And the world will find God as God's kingdom people make him visible. Let us pray. loving God, your love for the world is unmistakable. Fill our hearts with your love, that we might reveal your kingdom to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.